could we read in Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And then in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he was going up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And seeing them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And then finally, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he flew. And one called to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Just been thinking recently about prayer and how important it is in our spiritual walk down here to pray. I don't think there was a person that prayed more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was constantly praying. As a dependent man, he was praying to his God and Father on a continual basis. Everything that he did with prayer. When he fed the 5,000, before he did that, he prayed. When he was in the garden, he prayed. And how much more important it is for us as creatures that go so easily astray to have that direct link with God and that throne in glory. The Lord Jesus literally prayed about everything, and so should we. We should pray often and we should pray about everything. There's the hymn, isn't there, that says, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And you know, the key word I think there is everything. There's nothing that's too small or too big or things that happen too often that God isn't interested in. The Apostle Paul said that we should pray unceasingly. And I don't think he meant that we should be literally praying 24/7 because we have a practical life to lead, but I think he meant that everything that occurs in our life should be met with prayer. That we should never take one step in our lives without first committing it to the Lord Jesus or to God. You know, it's such an important resource to have. The Lord Jesus says, it says in Peter, doesn't it, that we should cast all our cares on him. It's a, you know, we're not down here completely alone, but we've got that link with the Lord Jesus in the glory. And it's a tremendous privilege to be able to have that communication and that conversation with the very God that created us. And I think it's a underestimated, certainly in my life, and an undervalued resource that we have, that we can actually have this communication with God. You know, and it, prayer really does work. You know, it's not, you know, we're not talking to an empty room, we're actually talking to God. And it really does work. God does listen to the prayers of his saints. He loves to hear us down here praying to him. You know, and it, when it says we cast all our cares on him, you know, that's, we pass our issues, our exercises to him, and he deals with them. You know, it's a, what a privilege it is that we don't have to go through this life worrying and thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, because we are we are in communication with a God that knows the beginning from the end. You know, there's a story of a little boy who had a toy train and it broke, and he gave it to his grandfather, and his grandfather took it away and said, oh, be a few minutes, I've just got to mend it. But the little boy got impatient and decided that instead of waiting, he took the train back and before it was fixed. And it's so much like us that we'll pray for something and we'll hand it over to God, but then we'll continue worrying about it anyway. That's not how it's supposed to work. We cast all our cares on him. Everything is we can give over to God and know that he is more than capable of sorting things out on his side. And, you know, we can't do anything on our side. All we can do is hand these things over to God. You know, praying continually. And you see that the Lord Jesus here. And it came to pass in those days he went out to the mountain to pray. He was going to choose his apostles here. And he something like that. He prayed to God. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could ever say the Lord Jesus was ever worried about anything. You know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying in the most, it was such a moment of pressure for him. I don't think he was worried about the future. I know he was God anyway, but even in his dependent man, I don't think he was worried about what was going to happen, because he'd committed everything to God and he knew that God knew the beginning from the end. And, you know, it's what a privilege it is to be able to hand things over in prayer to a God who knows everything. Mm. So I just read in Luke chapter 17, where we've got the story here of the 10 leprous men. You know, I think one of the things that's certainly lacking in my prayers is a thankfulness to God. Mm. How much time do I spend praying for things that are going to happen, and then compared to how much time that I give thanks to God after whatever it is I've been praying about happens? You know, I don't know, if I'm thinking of praying before I preach the gospel or something, I'll pray for quite a while beforehand, and then how long do I give thanks to him afterwards? Or if I'm praying about my exams coming up and praying that God will have his hand over them, but then how much time afterwards do I give thanks to God for all that he's done? You know, I think it's a good habit to get into, to think of each day what God has done for us and be thankful to him. You know, you look at this leprous man here that came back. He was clean, and it says he was cured, and he turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. You know, I think that's what God would be looking for, a response in worship and in praise and in thankfulness for all that he's done. He's done so much in each of our lives, and he deserves so much thanks, not just praying for things, but the thankfulness that should come from our hearts afterwards. You know, I'm sure there's people here tonight that have much more experience of God opening doors from prayerful exercise. And, you know, it's really important that we give thanks to God for all that he's done and is continuing to do in our lives. He's a tremendous God, and he deserves all the praise and worship that we can give him. So finally, I just read in Isaiah here, because I think although we do have this tremendous boldness to come before God and his throne, I think it's always important to remember who we are praying to. And I think this section here really does give an indication of just how holy and awesome God is. And I don't think we should ever forget who we're praying to when we pray. You know, we do have this tremendous intimate relationship with God. You know, how much closer can we get to the Father than being his sons? Or how much closer can we get to the Lord Jesus than being his bride? Or the Holy Spirit and having him indwelling inside of us? But he is still God, and there should still be that reverence and respect that should come from our prayers. You know, it's so easy when we pray, especially before we go to bed, have our minds drift off and think about other things and be distracted. But we should always remember that we are praying to God. You know, he deserves full respect from us. I think that's why when we pray, you know, it's God and Father and Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. You know, these are not just prefixes that just are meaningless, but they should mean something. You know, God is God. The Lord Jesus is the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. These are divine persons that really demand our utmost respect and reverence when we approach him. But we do have this tremendous relationship that we can come into, and this tremendous communication that we can have through prayer. And it's such a privilege, and as I said, something in my life that I feel that I undervalue and don't rely on enough, this communication that I can have with God, and this assurance that I know that he knows the beginning from the end, and that everything that I pass on to him, I know that he is able to fully meet in all his ways. It may not be the answer that I was looking for, but I know that he knows best in my life. Well, those are just a few scattered thoughts, and I hope the Holy Spirit can help us apply them to our lives.